You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game Control Live.
Hey guys, and welcome to Game Control Live, where we're going to talk a lot about some Xbox, because the announcement was just this week. But before we get started, sitting across from me, we've got Grant Corman in an amazing Muppet shirt. And sitting next to him, the lovely Rachel Moore.
Hello. I don't hear me or you.
Hello. Why don't you try again?
Hello.
There we go. There you go. Spiked up the mic. Yay. And next to me, the lovely Kari Take.
Hey, guys.
And guys, I'm Dave Klein, and we have a very special guest with us today. All the way from Pixel Cross Pixel, it's Patrick Dees.
What's going on, guys?
Yay!
Hey.
We are happy to have you. And all of your, I'm sure, wonderful or hateful opinions. We'll find out.
It's going to go some of both.
Because we've got a big announcement this week. But before we talk about the Xbox One reveal, I do want to also say that we're going to talk about E3 updates, some gaming moments of the week, quick hit news stories with curiosity because it's finally over. Oh my god! And some this weekend research if we have time to get to it. So guys, let's go ahead and jump into it. Some Xbox One, because the reveal happened on Tuesday last week. What did you guys think? What was your overall impression?
It was eventful. I mean, they got everybody in Redmond in a huge black tent, and they let the press and the world know what the next Xbox was going to be.
Yeah. Rachel, what were your thoughts?
I'm excited for a new Xbox, of course, but I kind of just want a game console. I don't want something that's going to try to be my cable box and be my DVD player and all that other stuff. I just want to play games on it.
Yeah.
And so until I actually see a better lineup of games, I can't really judge it yet as a game console.
Yeah, and then E3 is going to show us more of a, you know, like what games they're going to come out with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with all the specs I heard about. It was kind of what we expected. There's a lot of rumors that were true. Some were false, but yeah, so far, still.
I called it out on Twitter. I said to all you guys, like, if we were going by points, I think I might have come out of the four of us, like, as far as, like, the predictions and everything. I called back, what was it, 4 episodes ago? I was like, they're going to go back to, like, an iPhone-type naming scheme, so it's going to be, like, the Xbox One, Xbox Two. I didn't know that they were going to go back to Xbox One, but I thought that they were going to be like, oh, this is
Which makes
Xbox
no sense,
3.
Because the original Xbox, I call that Xbox One. I mean,
right.
People have come up, and they're like, hey, what do you think about the Xbox One? And I instantly think about old Xbox.
I think that's just a phase one, right? Like, I mean, they're calling it Xbox One, but, I mean, I think really what they want to do is get back to that core Xbox branding. You don't see Xbox One on the physical console itself anyway, so I think it's a bit of a placeholder right now, and then we're going to see the evolution of that brand turn into just Xbox.
I still think it's going to be like the iPhone, like the way the Apple
100%.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I mean, on that note, there's actually a brand guideline that came out from Microsoft, where they said, first use Xbox One or Xbox One console. Do not use Xbox alone to represent the platform or console. So I think they do specifically want that one to be a part of it. But I mean, overall, I was pretty disappointed by this as a gamer.
Me too.
And even as if you're not a gamer, just as a console to get all the features that they're saying, it's cool, they're fine, but I could do without all of them. And I think actually my favorite thing was a tweet from GameSpot, which was, and usually I don't read too much GameSpot, but I do love this tweet, which I'm trying to pull up for you guys.
Pages upon pages, don't you?
There's
a lot to go on.
There's a lot to talk about.
Okay, so,
exactly.
Actually, I'm going to keep on looking for a moment.
I think the thing that like most interesting to me was the fact that the gamers in general, and then also press people, are up in arms over the fact that it seems underpowered. But I mean, like, just to give you a comparison, the original Xbox, once, especially the more recent models, 3 cores running at 3.2 gigahertz. This Xbox is going to be 8 cores running at 1.6 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of given processing power a little bit more leeway. Like, I've understood that, like, my 4-core computer is running at the same theoretical rate that my 2-core computer ran at 4 years ago, 3.2 gigahertz about. So the fact that you're adding more cores on top of it is making it more powerful. What? I've understood at least that.
I think the one point that continually gets under notice is that when they talked about the cloud features, right? I mean, so yeah. Technically the computational power that this console will improve over time.
I think
right?
that they people can offload just think computation. It's incredulous. That's all. Like they want to see an example of it running. Like yeah. they think that for the most part it's going to be more like on live as opposed to like a rendering system in the cloud.
Sure, but I mean they're saying that there's a potential to offload actual game computations, right? So I think you know as we see later on in this generation, I think it's going to look even better and has a potential to far exceed what the PS4 is
doing. E3, though, they need to show, they need to put everybody in a room and go, like, hey, guess what? This fantastic thing you're seeing right now, none of the processing is happening on the Xbox that's in the room with us. It's all happening in the cloud.
Well, one of the cool right. things that you, with the cloud and what they're doing, is that when you're, that they can do with this is they're saying that when you download a game to play, you can start playing it right away while it's still downloading.
I don't like that either, though.
Why not?
Well,
that's one of the few things
like
I like.
Absolutely.
I do like being able to play it while it downloads, but I want to know how much that slows down the actual game. Because, I mean, we can't even sometimes watch a video on YouTube while
streaming.
Yeah, and not right. have problems. So I want to see how well this does.
It was more like you can do it with World of Warcraft. You can start playing a patch or a content as you're downloading the game.
But if you don't have epic, super amazing internet, that's going to be a big problem.
But they were also talking about, like, every game will need to be installed off of the disc.
I hate
so
that.
I hate that.
You look at my 360 collection, and it's easily over 100 different games. So if you think about having to install every single one of those games, I'm going to run out of space really, really
quickly.
And
they're Blu-rays, so the amount of storage is, like, it could go up to 50 gigabytes.
And you only got 500 gigabytes on the system, so that's, like, 10 games.
And you can't even use all 500 of those gigabytes.
But I doubt they'll...
They won't, but I'm just saying, though, that... I mean, like, I had to buy a new Xbox for a bigger hard drive at one point.
Just to give you an example, PlayStation has been using Blu-ray since... PlayStation 3 has been using Blu-ray since the launch. They've had the option of doing 50 gigabyte games for the last... 6 years.
But games are going to get bigger now with new graphics.
Yeah.
It'll be a little bit more slow.
But still, they've yet to really roadmap what the cloud looks like, right? So I think, you know, even if it is 500 gigs locally, I'm sure that it'll be, expanded cloud storage. They're going to have to. So I'm just not that worried about it.
Hey, you know, there's going to be a slim version with a terabyte hard drive in a couple years.
I like the design of the system. I think it's super pretty and streamlined and sexy. My main thing that I hate about it is requiring the Kinect. Nobody likes a Kinect. And now we're being forced to have it, and I hate that.
It's always going to watch you. Always. It's always watching you.
I'm going to have a towel over mine. It's not going to read my heartbeat.
And it also can watch, like, apparently it can read if a friend walks into the room. It actually will talk to you. That's
Why?
What reports are saying is Kinect will say, who is joining you right now? I'll actually ask you. They say their
C-Man
name.
It's like C-Man on Dreamcast. It's like, are you in the room alone?
Arguably one of the best games of all time. Are you kidding me?
But... I do want to say, from Ryan Whittleson on the chat says about, I want a gaming system. There isn't anything in the announcement I was excited about. And this is my quote that I wanted to read, which is from GameSpot. It's from Carolyn Petit, who is tweeting stuff. And Microsoft made the mistake. Their marketing team actually used this tweet for their marketing and didn't realize the sarcasm in it. Quote is from her tweet, every night when I watch TV, I think, it's just all so challenging. There's got to be a better way. Finally, there is. Hashtag right. Xbox One. And that's a lot of what I got out of this, is that they were kind of marketing everything from their reveal, as Ryan Whittleson was talking about. None of it was really for gamers. This fact that they're saying, and they're trying to quote and say, oh, well, it is still primarily a gaming system. No. We're showing that all
but
at E3.
Is anybody really worried that the Xbox isn't going to be for gamers?
This isn't a game console.
The problem with this announcement is that they're trying to go more mainstream with it. That's what they're doing. But by doing that, they're putting all the gamers in the dust with this announcement.
It would be like saying the new Corvette. It's like, do you really have to constantly remind everybody that it's a freaking car?
But this isn't a game. Talk
about the air conditioning. Talk about, like, the expanded features, which they did. And
so you talk about the game.
But this isn't a game system.
I'm of two minds. 100% on this. I'm of two minds. So as a core gamer, I was a little disappointed in the presentation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you. They didn't show anything. But I think from a corporate execution perspective, I think they crushed it. So forever, Microsoft and PlayStation have been cannibalizing each other's base, right? So let's say they steal 1% of that hardware. hardcore television audience. And I do. I disagree with that whole, oh, I wish there were a better way. I think innovation in the cable space has been non-existent. My interface with Time Warner is from the Eisenhower administration. It's terrible.
That's because it's Time Warner. I mean,
I'll give you that. I'm just saying. There's,
you got DirecTV and satellite for different times, ways to do it.
All right, I'll give you that. But so I think, so if they get this out of the way, right, they can't, they take that 1%, that 2% of that hardcore television audience, by the way, it does still play games. We left with, hey, 15 first party titles will be announced, and then they just get to blow it up at E3, well, which 15, is built for
it was
gamers.
15 new games. There's only, I think, 8 exclusive games.
But still, this
press
conference...
I think it's 8 new IPs, right? It's 15
first new IPs. But, I mean, the thing is, though, if you're trying to market as a gaming system, they just didn't do that. And what from the games they showed 3 games. They showed an EA Sports game, which we all know is going to come out for every system. They showed Forza, which doesn't really market to gamers per se. It's fine. And they showed Call of Duty Ghosts, which is fine, too, but Call of Duty Ghosts isn't even running a new engine. It's running the same engine that the last Call of Duty game
and
was on.
And it's going to be on all 4 systems.
Well, but,
but it's just they're trying to excite me as a gamer. None of that stuff excites me.
No, I don't think they are trying to excite us as a gamer at all. What they did was they announced a multimedia system that can also play games.
But I think they have just enough, right? Like, FIFA and Call of Duty are like the 2 biggest console games in the universe.
Yeah. But those aren't gamers' games.
I think, I mean, to an extent they are.
Well, they sell.
They're not.
They sell hardcore gamer games. When they come out in a year, sell as much units.
But those people
as
who are playing FIFA,
other main AAA
no, but those
titles.
People who are playing FIFA, who are playing Madden, who are playing, you know, those sports games, aren't the ones also going out and buying Skyrim.
I also think that those people
and
will
buying
also be the
Bulletstorm.
Ones, I think those are the people that will hold on to their Xbox 360s the longest.
Look, I don't disagree.
Right. Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, Patrick, about that. With the games, they're fine. I think anyone can play those games.
Right.
But the thing is, all those games are games that we already knew were going to come out. They're yearly releases that we always see for every system, multi-platform, and that is why I think that it doesn't matter that they showed them. It's because we all knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
That's why.
And we did it. Like I said, I don't think that conference was built for anybody in this room, but there's a cool power in associating yourself with being the Call of Duty box, right? Strategically, and the FIFA box. Even if it's not an exclusive, people want to play. I mean, they did that this generation with some of the, you know, the Time DLC, right? And so people do associate the Xbox with being a Call of Duty machine.
Yeah, and like if you're coming off of the announcements and you were basing it on the announcements alone, like you can kind of refer to the PS4 as like the biggest thing out that came out of that was kind of like the Killzone game being announced at launch.
Exactly.
So if you had to compare like titles that were announced with it, it's like you have Xbox with like all this media stuff, and then they show FIFA and then Call of Duty, and then with PlayStation they have, you know, like Killzone. So it's very like, you had to separate them, they were separated into
Well, that's
two
because
camps.
With this generation of gaming consoles, the 360 is the console that you buy all of your games for that are on all the other systems, and the PlayStation is this console that's got way better first-party titles.
Yeah.
Okay, what? So, I mean, what you were talking about, though, with the mass media, here's some quotes from some of the mass media, because if you look at any gaming outlet, everyone from gaming outlets seem to be disappointed, but Fox News is quoted saying, indeed, the Xbox One demonstration was so impressive, it made me wonder, why the heck didn't they do this with the disastrous Windows 8? CNN says the console itself is more angular and practical looking than either of its two predecessors. Flat and rectangular like a cable box, you could almost call the design reserved. And then you have The Sun saying, but the news that really got gamers salivating was the exclusive gaming deals they announced. So
wait a minute,
Call of Duty Ghost takes the critically
acclaimed
franchise.
You're about the fact that news articles who are normally completely divested from gaming news are utterly clueless about this launch
and what
it means to
but
gamers?
But the point is that if you're looking at what Xbox is trying to sell to, they're not really selling to gamers with this launch. That's my point I'm making.
No, and mission accomplished. I mean, I agree with you. And I think from a strategy perspective, it was pretty smart because then they have a chance to follow up with E3 in 3 weeks with 15 first party. And I think that's the lesson they learned from this last generation was, to your point, you know, you buy the PlayStation for those first party titles, and now I think that's the lesson they're taking into this generation is they're gonna have their own
Hopefully. Really
kick ass.
Like, that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if that would be like the real failing is if they come to E3 and they're showing Call of Duty and this FIFA game, like if that's those are their trophies, like they don't show off, like Destiny is going to be multi-platform.
Like
if they try showing off these games which we know are going to be multi-platform and they don't have like the big like, oh shit, we surprised you with something,
right,
then it's going to be the failing.
Like that'll be the swing
that, well, if it's 8 new IPs like puzzle games and stuff like that, then it's not going to be a seller.
Mm-mm.
Well, like, people are going to, like, side with PS4 right then and there.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm already siding with PS4, but we'll wait till E3. So, well, there's nothing in those specs that intrigued me or made me want to say, okay, I can maybe go the Xbox
route. For me, it's not about
1080p. For me, it's not about the specs. Can recognize whether or not you're like excited because of your blood vessels or whatever.
No, I don't need it.
Here's the very disturbing thing about having that Kinect constantly on there, and I'm not the first one to make this joke because I believe Penny Arcade always has. Now the possibility of me accidentally catching my friends in the act of masturbating has gone exponentially up.
Whoa.
That is how
I'm going to put a towel. I guess you do it in the living room in front of your TV. Look.
Where else do you do it, Dave?
I don't know, John and I live together. So.
You guys should have this conversation later.
John and I live together, so this just got really weird.
It's gone exponentially up. Like, before I could have gone my entire life. Now it's like it's closing in on that
certainty
point.
The internet has helped a bit with that.
Okay, so, Rachel, I agree with you that it's all about the games, and it's hard to say any firm thoughts without seeing what games are coming out, both for the PS4 and the Xbox One. But there are things that really are deterring me from wanting to get the Xbox One without seeing the games. So, and that would have to do with the always on and with the used games that have been happening. And this is from, basically it seems like Harrison, the VP for Phil Harrison, who's one of the VPs for Microsoft, just has basically been trolling Microsoft, is what it seems like. Because every negative thing that's come out post-wise has been something Phil Harrison said.
People were saying he was a little bit like just off his game.
But let me jump on the things that he's been saying though. So he basically said that
I would have been drunk.
We're not Xbox One is not going to Xbox One is not going to be always on, but you have to be connected to the internet once a day. So every 24 hours, it has to check to make sure you're online. And as you guys have known from our previous discussions, I'm very against anything like that. Because for any reason, I don't think you should buy a system and it has to authenticate you and give you permission, which is the quote, give you permission to play your own games that you buy. Yeah. And that's their quote. And then the other thing that's happening with used games is, first they were saying that, so if you want to play a used game at a friend's house, if you have a game and you want them to play it, they have to pay the full $60 price.
Yeah.
But I was reading that depends on the developer that they're giving the developer.
Well, right, but then they were going back. But then they were going back and they're like, no, it's the developer. And now they're switching it around and they're like, now they're saying that you just have to download it on your friend's console and it can only be registered to one console at a time.
The thing that you should take away from this is that the technology exists and it's shipping with the Xbox. The reason that there's so much confusion between the announcement and what a developer will do and what Microsoft will eventually do is because, yes, the technology exists, but they still haven't decided how restrictive it's going to be. So they could probably turn off the authentication requiring you to go and connect to their server every 24 hours. They can probably make it so that you can move your game back and forth. But if they leave it up to the developers, you're going to see developers flounder with the choice on their own. See, you're going to see EA try their hand at it, and then if it really pisses off their fans, they'll scale back.
I totally
and turn it
disagree.
Off.
I thought their announcement that they were getting away with the online passes was so completely disingenuous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is completely developer driven, and if you think it will be different on the PS4, you're a crazy person.
Yeah.
There's no. I mean, there will be console parity there 100%. And I think that's where Microsoft missed it. Was just a messaging thing, right?
Can we also throw out that GameStop's after this GameStop's stock plummeted after the announcement.
Yeah.
So
18%.
But I think that's just the confusion. So we'll see what happens when it finally comes out. What's really
what
going
they'll
on?
What they'll find out is if they do start restricting used game sales, that new game sales are going to drop just as fast. I think if people can't trade in their games once they're done, or if they don't like it, they'll be a lot more picky about what they buy new.
What does that do for GameFly? Games.
I hope it doesn't do a lot because damn it, I need GameFly because I can't afford.
I'm addicted. I'm there like
but
three
the thing
games
is,
out at a time.
With GameFly, it works to new games because if I like a game through GameFly, I will go out and buy it new.
Sure, but with GameFly, that works where they're shipping the same disc to everybody. But yeah, another thing I really hate is what you're talking about, Rachel, before that you don't like is that you have to download every single game that you buy on your system. PS3 did that. I hated that you could do that with your PS3, and I didn't want to play the games that you had to do that. I don't want to install an entire game on my hard drive.
Ain't nobody got room for that.
Most of the Xbox games that have actually allowed you to do it as a choice, and then all of a sudden the graphics capabilities and the quality of the game suddenly bumps up, you found a lot of people not really worried about that install time when it meant that
But I just don't want it to be a requirement. That's the issue to me.
I didn't install any of my games. would rather not, because I don't want to take up that precious space.
When it becomes a requirement, that's when it becomes an issue to me.
What fundamentally is the issue? Why is the requirement something that is just killing this for you? Because for me...
Space.
But again, you know, we're under the impression that we'll be able to scale this almost infinitely in the cloud eventually, right? I mean, server capacity is just going to get bigger.
Eventually,
so,
but assuming, how long is that going to take?
I mean, a year, two
years?
Well,
if this lasts 8 years, the console, like, we might see a point when, by the time that this console ends, this is what I was saying to you, Dave, I think, on Twitter. By the time this console's life cycle ends, we might not even be buying physical copies of the game.
Here's I think it'll be day and day digital for most of them.
MuggleMind on the chat says, it penalizes those people that don't have internet or even a stable net connection. And I think that's the issue with all these cloud things that they're doing, is that that's why you should still have that physical option. It should be an option. I'm fine with it existing. I like the technology. I'm fine with that. I just don't think it should be a requirement. Same with Always On. I think it's cool. There's a lot of cool features with that, but it shouldn't be a requirement.
As a
consumer, I want options.
I don't think a developer would be stupid enough to do that with their big games. I don't think that the people that are going to... Like, let's just put it this way. A person who has, like, a really shitty internet connection, like, are they really going to go out and be buying... are they really going to go out and buy Gears of War so they can play with their buddy on the other side of the United
States? Upgrade your internet.
No, because they don't have good internet. They're going out to buy the games that they can play in their houses and the games that Microsoft already expects they're going to buy.
But you still have to download and use cloud functionality, potentially.
If it's up to the developers. So if the developer says, like, oh, our most popular game in our entire lineup, a game which is not pirated at all and is bought exclusively by people with shitty internet connections, is going to be, like, hampered by this, like, online functionality.
Okay, but what if you're one of the few people...
Poor choice.
But what if you're one of the people, not that there's many, but who buys Call of Duty for the single player and you don't play multiplayer and you actually enjoy the Call of Duty single player?
Again,
that's one of those games that they would probably make. Yeah,
that's up to the developer.
But again, you're getting screwed as a consumer. So why would you support any way for you to get screwed as a consumer?
Choice, and if the developer makes that poor choice, they should be... Like, honestly, they'll make their choice, but then they'll patch it.
You know what? So I'll just get a PlayStation 4 so I don't even have to worry about it. Because as a consumer, I want options that support me as a consumer. Why are you supporting them being anti-consumer?
With all technology, you have to learn. But they have to learn what's going to work and what's not going to work. And we don't even know what's going to work. And we don't know what we actually want out of these systems yet until we get them in our home and see how they work with our lifestyle.
I've seen with SimCity and Diablo 3 that they haven't learned twice. So...
I want to say this, though. I think what we're totally missing here is that Microsoft is an innovator. They're always innovators. They're trendsetters. They were the first to have achievements, right? Now that's globally. Achievements are everywhere. They were the first people to...
Sega was also an innovator.
Okay. Stay with me, though. But I'm saying in 2002, they required a broadband connection for live, right? At the time, it was highly unpopular. But frankly, it really changed the way everything
worked.
And
now there isn't, like, a person who
some
plays
Xbox. Some things
work,
some don't. Yeah. You just have to, like, kind of go with it and see what works and what doesn't.
I think Heather misses... You know, Vista was a big Windows... I mean, a Microsoft miss. But what I'm saying is that I think...
I think you're missing Microsoft Millennium Edition. Hello.
Hello. So anyway, I think they're innovators. I think a lot of this stuff will actually prove out to be consumer-friendly. And I do think... What I will say, Dave, is in buying a PlayStation 4, I think really... Sony's just done a much better job messaging some of this stuff. I think that they're really going to be parody on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
They have not come out either way. Their announcement was, you will be able to play used games. Good night!
Yeah.
Right. We don't know what that means yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And
we don't
have
the details.
If you take the points away from the PS4 announcement, they basically announced everything that the Xbox announced, the sharing features, the social connection, and they left out a bunch of the key features that might piss off people.
Totally. And I did love the way Microsoft handled that when they went like, yeah, of course you can share your stuff. Like, yeah, that's just, yeah, of course you can do every one of those big selling points that Sony had. Microsoft was like, yeah, duh, you can do that. We'll get that out of the way. But here's the other stuff. So I think they handled that well.
And they're going to be a lot more similar than people like to realize.
I
have a lot of problems. You're going to if there's server problems on the Xbox, that's not going to be Microsoft's problem only. It's going to be you're going to have similar hiccups and hacking and like dropouts on the PlayStation network as well.
Yep.
And goodness, I mean, I would say the interruptions on the PlayStation in its current generation, I don't think they fixed it with the PS4, are more annoying than the Xbox when it disconnects from the PlayStation network.
I just wanted to go back on the whole used game thing.
Okay.
Imagine going to a friend's place and saying, yay, you got to pay $60 for using this.
But that was debunked.
Was debunked, but it's basically...
That's not a thing.
Basically, with all this stuff, and the reason I was bringing up the always-on thing and the fact that I said that basically the VP was just trolling their own company is because everything he said... He was drunk. Super, he's just drunk. Super, go home. Hammered. You're just drunk. Go
been
home.
Been a long cycle. Go home. We'll call you a cab.
But basically, but if you, everything he said, they were just like, that's a possible scenario. But that's the weird quote. It's a possible scenario.
Again, they're leaving it.
Is
up
a
to
very
the
strange quote.
Probably.
But even if you take a game to a friend's house and it can only be working on one system at a time, you already have to do that with your Xbox Live profile. So I don't see what the big deal is there.
Well, okay. Yeah. Imagine this though.
Options.
Imagine this though.
But you can't. You can't. You can't. You already don't have that option, so the fact that the option is staying the same shouldn't be an issue.
Stay with me. Imagine this scenario, okay?
Come on.
Your friend gets a game, and you want to borrow the game or play it, or maybe you guys want to play at your house so you don't have to haul your entire system over.
Mm-hmm.
Just to play it together. It's not like something where you have to have their account. Then you get to their place. You have to install the entire game, which could take up to 2 hours. We don't know how long it'll take. Maybe it'll take 30 minutes. Maybe. But still, I mean, you have to install the entire game. And then if the developer says so, they're like, you know what, we want you to pay an extra $60, actually. So, again, you just brought over your game to your friend's house and you can't play. So you have to bring over your entire console.
No. Just install the game along with your Xbox Live account.
Yeah,
account. And boom,
it's
the
your
same.
Your profile's in the
it's
cloud.
It's the exact just... same thing.
Right. I mean, but the installation thing, that's kind of the issue to me with that. But anyways.
You're
going
to be able to play streaming.
Look, yeah.
So you start the installation, you're going to be able to play.
Like we're getting mad at
you
Xbox.
You guys are defending Xbox.
No, but you got
all
yeah.
these roadblocks.
We're getting mad about the Xbox. We're getting mad about the Xbox when we don't actually even have the hardcore specs or ideas of what we're even arguing about.
I know, but I think it's just the disappointment.
You can't fault the system without knowing the actual proof
well,
of what you're faulting it
let
for.
Let me throw out something that we can say as a certainty, which is that Xbox One is not going to be backwards compatible at all with games. It's backwards compatible with movies, mm-hmm. but not games.
It's a forward-looking console.
Hey, I just think it's funny. No, so here's the quote from Don Matrick. He says, if you're backwards compatible, you're really backwards. So that is the president of Microsoft.
Well, we
Xbox
all knew it
edition.
Wasn't going to be backwards compatible.
Yeah, that was
but
kind of
look,
given.
I mean... They've been doing that for consoles for years. Mm-hmm. It's just depressing.
But I'm more mad about at Sony for it because they just made me buy all of my PS1 games again on the PS3, and now those aren't going to work.
But they've
either.
Been doing that with the XBLA too. Maybe you just didn't want the Xbox games that have been coming out. They've been doing that, and you've been buying them for XBLA games, and you can't play any of those either.
Well, just put
and,
it this
and
way.
The problem to me with this compared to any other generation cycle is that this is the longest generation cycle we've ever had, and that's why it feels like a bigger issue than it ever was before.
Well, you know, but going back to what Don Matrick
PS4
said,
too.
But going back to what Don Matrick said, they're supporting the 360 for another 5 years. They anticipate selling another 5 million boxes.
But that's
where
backwards
you'll be
thinking.
Able to play it.
I mean, but they'll get it down to it'll be a whole new SKU. I'll bet you $100, and I'll come back on the show and pay you each. I mean, there's gonna be $100 SKU.
Everyone out there on the chat, you are our witnesses. I really need $100.
I'll include the chat as well if you want to do this. There's a new so come back. There's a new SKU announced at E3, and it'll probably be right in that $100-$150 price point. It'll
that's
be a much
their
smaller
backwards
box.
Compatibility.
I mean, exactly.
And honestly, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have that than emulation because we they threw out the emulation on the PS3 because it was like too much of a hassle. It was a whole extra chip they had to put in on it. And if I honestly, I've had better experience playing these arcade games, these digital distributed versions of my old favorites and classics on game systems like the Wii, on the PS3 and Xbox than I have putting the cartridge in the systems.
Look, what I like
the
to
older
see
ones especially. It's hard to get those older cartridge systems to work. It's harder to get my old PlayStation 2 games to work on the PS3, and it's easier to play those versions of the downloaded versions. I've actually downloaded versions of PS2 games on the PS3, even though I have the disc and a backwards compatible.
Right,
PS3.
But XBLA is not backwards compatible either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what would be great is if they did something like the Wii U announced, where you can just transfer over everything. Or some way, or if you could at least re-download the games that you downloaded for XBLA for the Xbox One hardware. But nothing has been announced or confirmed for that. But if they did something like that, I'd be cool with it.
I think they will, because honestly, they know that that's where their core gamer is and where most of their money was made was the digitally distributed games on Xbox Arcade. I think that all of those Xbox games are going to be easily ported to the Xbox
But I find
One.
It very ironic with what you were saying, Patrick, that... they are going to be supporting the Xbox 360 for another 5 years, yet they're talking about backwards compatibility being backwards. And to me, it's like, well, if you made some sort of emulator for your Xbox One, and there's all these great Xbox 360 games coming out, like Dark Souls 2 for me is coming out end of this year, then I'd be more inclined to just make the Xbox One my primary thing. Whereas now there's this great game I want that's for Xbox 360. I don't have as much reason to want to buy an Xbox One if it's not going to play this game. So to me, I think that's more... I don't know. I don't know if that's the... I know they want to support the 360 for all the people who already bought it since this has been such a long generation cycle. Right. I understand that. But... I feel like they're almost hurting themselves in a way by doing this.
I don't think so at all. From a business perspective, I think it's genius, right? They've got an install base of 70 million already. So if you think they're doing this for the gamer, I think you're wrong. I think they're doing this for the developer.
And then
they've
given all the tools to the developer, too.
Absolutely.
You could, like, one of the best experiences I had recently on the PS3 was, I have a PS Vita as well, and I cross-platform purchased Guacamelee and... Battle Royale.
Yeah.
So I could play it on both systems. I only had to purchase it once.
Mm-hmm.
That is inherently available on Microsoft systems as well. So, I mean, the technology is there to make one purchase on the Xbox Live Marketplace and be able to play it. It's all up to the developers. Honestly, only a couple of developers have used it on the PlayStation. It's up to the developers to do this for the fans, and if they don't do it, Microsoft is still giving them all the tools.
Yeah,
going back to supporting the 360 for the next 5 years is extremely smart, because when I worked at EB Games for 4 years, when a new system came out, the older version of the system would sell like crazy. So...
Yeah, and it gets all those people. I mean, I think it introduces a whole new users into that ecosystem, right, that are purchasing content on Xbox Live. I think from a strategic perspective.
Well, I'm more just talking about with the backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the backwards compatibility kind of doesn't go hand in hand with that, because then maybe if you're buying these new 360 games, you'd be less inclined to buy the new system. Because if you bought a PS3 when it first came out and all these great PS2 games were still coming out, you could still play those new PS2 games on your PS3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you bought the edition that let you do
that. Well, this is when the PS3 first came out. I'm talking about the first year when that was the only edition. Well, yeah,
no,
you're right. You had to pay $600 for it.
Yeah.
But it was still a way that you could buy those PS2 games and still enjoy them on your new console.
Mm-hmm.
When the 360 first came out, it was the same thing. You could still buy... They were still trying to support all the old Xbox games. So... In that regard,
and I was
playing
more of them when I got my first Xbox 360. I was still holding on to my Xbox games. I was like, "Oh my god, I got to put the Hulk game in, and I'm going to play."
Sure,
it.
But I mean, you know, time goes on. But I'm talking.
And now I don't.
But
like,
during
my
that
Xbox game is my Xbox original games are sitting in a binder, and I haven't touched them for over a year.
Right, but it's also been 6 years at this point. But I'm talking about this initial transition, this
only
initial crossover.
Years.
Maybe it's been longer than that.
Yeah.
It could have been 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's 8 years.
Yeah,
wait.
The tech was
no,
a year
it's been
old.
8 years.
Yeah, it has been. And
yeah.
The tech was
a year
old when it came out. So they're doing things like that. They're doing with like Metro and these new sexy games on like ostensibly 9-year-old tech. It's
so
incredible.
This was 8 years ago.
It looks
ago.
Amazing.
Okay, so 8 years ago. But again, that was 8 years ago. So you're not playing your 8-year-old games, Grant, anymore today. But when it first made that transition and crossover, you wanted to be able to play those games on your new system. And I remember people being excited and thinking it was a big deal that you could or couldn't. That was a big deal 8 years ago for the first year or two when those good games were still coming out. So that's why I do think it is a relevant issue to talk about. I mean, look, them supporting the 360 for 5 years, that's great. I just think the fact that you can't play those 5 years of 360 games that are going to be coming out.
So
you will be able to play them. You'll play a better version of them. I mean,
it depends on the manufacturer, though.
We're also entering unprecedented territory here, because the PS2 ended up being produced by Sony well after the PS3 came out.
Right.
Microsoft still has the ability to do that with the Xbox 360, like you were saying.
I think
new
they
SKU,
will.
Lower price. I think we're going to enter a new era where you're going to have the Xbox One, and the Xbox 360 is still going to be a major part of your living room if you want.
And
you don't need to have the backwards compatibility, which hampers the system, makes it more expensive, and will basically cause more problems on the Xbox One.
Well,
you just
Dave,
I
don't think you're going to be missing out. Like, Watch Dogs, for example, is clearly a game that's coming out on the 360, but obviously the definitive version is going to be on the Xbox One. And so, it's going to be really easy for these developers to say, hey, look, we're going to port this down to this huge and smart to do so. Why wouldn't you make it available to 70, 100 million
Xbox 360
users?
The only thing I want is them to make it easier
users.
To port.
Well,
which the previous gen was almost impossible.
Well, it depends
on
the game.
The PS4, the Wii U the PS3 and the Wii U are some of the hallmarks of, like, oh, this was, like, incredibly hard to develop for, and, like, that's the reason why you're not seeing the games on
it. Okay, but you're talking about right now the easeability of porting it for a game manufacturer
right.
to port it. But if it was that easy to port the game, because they got to switch over all these different hardware specs that they're using on the new Xbox One. So to port it now to a completely different operating system,
right,
that's got to cost a lot of money and take a lot of time. So how many developers are going to be doing
all
that?
All of them. All of them. So? Again, here's another $100 bet. All of them. It's
But I think it depends on the game, and I think it depends on the developer. Like, yes, Activision, they're going to be doing it with their game.
Sure.
Because they can afford it.
Right.
So, but some of the smaller companies whose games you might support, like, say, last week we were talking about XSEED, and we were talking about Marvelous Entertainment, I highly doubt they're going to be doing something like that.
Sure.
Because I don't think they can afford
it. But those games are going to be digital download. Those games that can't afford, those games that are only going to sell 300,000 units or a couple thousand units, they're going to be digital downloads instead. So you won't even have to worry about a disc. You won't have to worry about, like, you know, backwards compatibility, because they're going to be available in the marketplace instead of a disc buy at the store.
Do you guys, because I wrote this in the chat, that it means nothing to me, even like that it's a home entertainment system, and Owen Harper agreed. Do you guys think that, gaming aside, like the other specs that they have are really cool. Like, you can do two things at the same time.
Yes. And
the only thing that I thought that was really amazing was the HDMI pass-through. And this is just like a little nerdy thing for me, because like I have like 10 devices at home connected to two different TVs.
Sure.
If I have like an HDMI pass-through and my Xbox is the last stop on my like router of doom that leads all my devices to the TV.
Yep.
Like, and I can, like, there's this little IR port on the back that I can hook up a blaster, and my Xbox can basically be like this switcher that switches my home entertainment unit to be whatever it wants to, a TV, a Blu-ray player, or my PS4 or PS3 or whatever. I just think that, like, it's just like this is like a little tiny geeky thing of mine.
Right.
And it kind of is the doorway to them dominating the entertainment space, because if they can take control of your DVR, if they could record stuff for you to watch later on, if they can keep track of what you're watching, and like they can offer you content based on it, that'd be pretty interesting.
I see this more like, to me, when I saw this, the Xbox One reveal, to me it's more like they were announcing the new Apple TV.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it felt like to me, is this is the new Apple TV with what they're trying to do about it. And I don't, and like you were saying, Rachel, and like you guys are saying, I honestly, I don't dislike anything they showed. I think it's all cool.
Yeah.
It's just nothing that, to me...
She's like, nope.
Okay, but to me... Well, to me, I think it's all cool stuff, and I have nothing against any of it. It's just, to me, nothing that would sell a console for me.
I definitely like being able to switch and do more than one thing at a time,
but
because
yeah,
there's
all this
tons
great.
Of times...
I will openly accept any new feature that they have or innovation.
Right.
Oh my
great.
God, it has...
It's just
has
not something
that
I'm going
to
spend a lot of money on.
You could, feasibly, on a high-definition TV... Use the HDMI pass-through. It could, like, register the signal coming in. It could put the little TV in the box for you. You can watch TV and play a video game at the same time. That would be so amazing.
You would love, like, a walkthrough, because you're stuck somewhere and you're trying to go around and finding all these achievements. You have the little screen with the walkthrough showing you how to get to secret places. This is amazing.
They should do it. I'm sure
that
I hope they're listening.
Honestly, this is an 8-year cycle we're talking about. Some of this weird stuff, like,
it's amazing.
I'm sure they've imagined it and built it in. They have all the hardware and all the tools available, and it's going to be up to the software, and they can update it, and they can enable this stuff if they want to, I would assume.
So Lions Fan on the chat says, I think these makers of the consoles are making the system as if it's the entire home entertainment system that is so disappointing. I mean, yeah, that's what they're doing, so either you like that or you don't, but that is what they're doing.
I was one of those detractors that was like, these cell phones with cameras, it's never going to catch on. Like six years ago, I was like, I have my DSLR and I have my phone and I want them to be separate. And boy, was I wrong.
I was like that too.
I love it.
I was like that too, I'll be honest. So all this stuff I'm saying right now in 6 years, I'll be like, what was I thinking?
You'll still like it.
Well, I think it's just an entry point. You remember when Xbox Live launched on the original Xbox, or even this generation, the 360 Live was a completely different beast than it is now.
Were you about to say generosity? I actually kind of like that better. I don't know why.
Use your words.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about Xbox One. So let's move on to some other topics, which was
my sound is bad.
The
How
PlayStation.
Dare they?
Yeah, apparently also the sound's just low on the stream.
Don't
not
kiss
sure
your
why.
Microphone,
sorry,
maybe? I don't know.
Say
yeah,
what?
I think you sound pretty sick.
So apparently Sony stock after the Microsoft reveal went up by 9.25%.
That's huge. Amazing.
So huge. Right after the Xbox One reveal. Does this say anything about the Xbox?
Yes.
No, wait, hold on.
It's too early to judge.
It's kind of just ironic timing. This really has more to do with the Sony Entertainment, Sony Electronics split that we were talking about last week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be funny timing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh!
These are money. Mm-hmm. This is money people making money, basically. These aren't gamers. These are money people using the news to take advantage.
Well, so they're basically
moving their money around.
So this has to do with Sony Electronics splitting from Sony Entertainment, which now sounds like actually is a pretty big feasibility that may be happening because Sony Entertainment has been making up from Sony Electronics losses, apparently. Yep. So we will see if that actually happens.
Hmm.
Other story.
I figured out my mic problem. It's turned around.
Boom.
Ah.
There you go.
Okay. So, some E3 updates for you guys.
Oh, sexy.
Wow, you sound so much better.
I looked down and I couldn't see the logo.
That was like oh, phone sex operator.
Yeah.
I've been talking to the back of my hand for the last 30 minutes.
So let's talk some Ouya. So, or E3, I should say. Some E3. So I just found this funny, which is why I'm saying this. Ouya is going to be in the parking lot of E3.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Are they Prime still trying estate. With that thing?
Yes.
Well, here's what they're saying.
Give it up.
I can't wait to see what they do at E3 because, like, it's been such.
But they're
there's
not
been
at
so much
E3.
Bad news
they're
for
outside.
The last, like,
yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what they're going to do.
Right.
Are they going to show me highlights of the stuff that's been kind of, like, reported on as being bad?
They're kind of marketing those. You'll be able to demo your games to media, E3 attendees, and random people on the street. Ouya's E3 location will be 100% open to the public
and the homeless.
So I guess. They kind of need it.
Have they not
Welcome
been
to
downtown
LA.
Los Angeles?
Yeah.
That's
a bad idea.
Right.
They're trying to give it a positive spin.
They might, they
be
might
good.
Need to do that free
They should be like just throwing
thing.
These out over the crowd. Like,
yeah.
These things are tiny enough.
T-shirt guns. Just
yeah. Here's an Ouya. Boom.
Knock someone out with that
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we make fun of it, but we would all stop and see it if we were in
the And it's cheap enough that they could do it. They should be handing
right
them out. They
it.
Honestly should.
One of Grant and my coworkers got the Ouya. Jason, did you end up checking it out? Did he play it?
Oh, I have the Ouya, too.
What do you think?
I like it, but like the highlight of it is for a highlight for me is what's gonna be adopted by Sony and Microsoft, and it's that more streamlined, two-dimensional user interface that is like much more responsive and more like easy to move around.
So R. Burton on the chat says Ouya is tailgating E3.
His name is Rich.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
Rich Burton.
Yeah. He's my friend.
So speaking of space at E3, everyone was pretty concerned about Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And what Nintendo's doing at E3, we finally got the layout of where all the booths are going to be. And Nintendo's E3 booth is just as big, if not bigger, than Sony's E3 booth.
It's always big.
It's always,
like,
yeah.
But, I mean, the fact is they're still having a presence. That's the point. And on Twitter, Nintendo of America, @NintendoofAmerica, tweeted out, hello, we already announced we will have another...
Hello.
At E3. Hello. Hello.
Wow.
We already announced that we will have another at E3, but now we can share the date, time... June 11th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. It's pretty early.
The line is going to be ridiculous.
But that's after
do you think
the
it will be?
Show,
do you think
isn't
people
it?
To get into
care?
The Nintendo
7
booth, to get
yeah,
into
June
the Nintendo 11th, booth at
that's
E3.
After the show.
Huh? No. The Nintendo booth at E3 is always one of
the
hardest
11th
to get into.
13th,
it's, in,
oh, yeah.
it's insane, but are they relevant anymore? Like,
yes,
anybody...
they are.
Okay.
I like
okay.
my Nintendo.
I'm sorry.
Rachel
I don't
want to
fight. I don't
want to
cry
so
in front
well
of these guys.
E3.
I think you'd win.
Rachel and I are big Nintendo fans over here.
They always do really well at E3. You can walk around Sony, Microsoft just fine, but at Nintendo, there's lines and
my
it's just
my favorite booth
massive.
At E3 is EA's booth. Because it doesn't matter what games they're showing, what they've done the last couple years is they've raised the booth off the show floor probably about a foot or a couple of inches, and the subwoofers that they put in the stage make it so that once you step into their space, all the sound and like the screens that they have there are rumbling with the floor. And very few other companies have really like gone to the such lengths to create such an immersive booth experience. Like there's certain games.
Bethesda's last year.
So
sensory
the big
overload.
Dragon. Oh, but then, but I mean, 2K had the huge giant songbird that you could pose
oh, yeah, yeah.
in his
yep.
hand,
so,
and I like those things.
So, Grant, MuggleMind's excited because he can hear your sound all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sexy, sexy voice.
Howdy, everybody.
So, Nintendo Direct, they're going to be having it. I think June 11th is actually Tuesday. I think that's the Tuesday first day of E3.
Yeah,
I
the day
why.
Before the first.
I
it's not
the
Monday press day, but it's
press
Tuesday is Monday.
Press
Tuesday
is Monday,
the first day of
E3. Tuesday is the first day of E3. It's going to be in the morning before that all starts. Tuesday morning, 7 a.m.
Let me ask the Nintendo contingent.
I said my body was
Sunday
ready,
before E3,
really.
We're going to Disneyland. Just saying.
If you're a Nintendo, this Nintendo fan club over here, what's the strategy? What do you do at E3 to differentiate yourself? Because you can't go...
Games. It's all about games.
Yeah, games. I mean, for me, it's always like, I honestly, every Zelda game that's coming out, I've loved. Every real Mario game. I don't count New Super Mario Bros.
Yeah,
U.
Those are
but
co-op.
Like the real big Mario games.
If they announce a Zelda game, it doesn't matter.
A new Metroid game,
Xbox
Smash
One,
Brothers.
PS4 could be there. The Xbox One could be there. If they announce a new Zelda game for the Wii U, and the Wii U I've already kind of written off. It's
a
like
new
my
Mario
console.
Game.
Like,
yeah.
I would be sitting there
should.
In the Nintendo booth
but
like at the press conference. I'll be going like, holy shit, this is why I came for.
But you have to keep in mind they haven't had any console sellers yet on the Wii U, so they might finally announce some console sellers.
Or they're just like, wrap it up. They're like, oh, we're done.
I want Mario Sunshine 2. Mario Sunshine 2.
Sega.
I know they're trying. I know they're trying, but E3 aside, even though Nintendo Direct is... I like Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, no, I mean,
so
I still think
that,
it's cool. I think it's for people in this room, but I mean, can that sustain this console? Can those tent poles, can the Mario, can the
yes.
Zelda?
Yeah.
They would have been
always
able
will.
To do
okay.
it.
It's a complete family console. There's tons of family people that...
I mean, also, like, Nintendo Land...
I don't like a world where there's no Nintendo.
Yeah, no.
Producing, I don't like that world. I'm not buying it, but I don't like... It needs to be...
But, I mean, like, Nintendo Land was actually a lot of fun
if you played
it. I
adore Nintendo Land.
It was a great game. But, yeah, I don't know what the Wii U honestly can do to market itself further other than just announcing some great first-party games and hopefully saying, hey, guess what? We have third-party support again. All that third-party support that dropped out, we have it. It's back.
There's only one company, EA, only one company out of those
And Avalanche. Avalanche Studios.
It came back.
Oh, I wasn't saying came
I'm
back.
Saying, so only one company out of those like three or four that we've been listing over the last couple weeks actually came out last week and said, oh, okay, we aren't completely negating the Wii U development. And that was EA. EA says, okay, yes, we do actually have some in development. We're just not close to releasing.
I don't know what's more depressing,
there's
the
liars.
Lack of third-party support or those new commercials. We're like, hey, it's an upgrade. Have you seen the Wii U? It's an upgrade. It's an upgrade with the family.
Oh, or
like,
the fact that on the Wii they have to advertise
it's
it too.
It's so depressing.
Yeah.
On the Wii, they're trying to advertise on the Wii. Like,
yeah.
Did you know there's a new Wii U out on your Wii?
But yes, I
think it was a major mistake, honestly, because
a lot of people don't though. Actually, a lot of people don't realize
they needed to differentiate it even more, and those advertisements didn't do enough to make me think like,
please buy me,
yeah,
please buy it.
I mean, it almost seems like whenever they've done advertisements like that, it's for like the Nintendo 64, which had that little like chip that you could add into it, like. Don't you know it's available? You need it to play this game, or it comes with this game, and like you need it to experience it better. And it almost seems like that's what their entire scheme is centered around. It's like, oh, come on, don't you know? I should have known.
There was a big
Wii
U thingamajigger at downtown Disney yesterday.
Owen Harper from the chat is.
That?
I wanted to tell you,
okay,
Patrick.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh no, the wrath is coming. I'm feeling it.
I think it's also the fact that they're going direct to their fans. I think that already sets them apart from other companies. I like being intimately aware of what's going on, as I've always been crappy at keeping up with press.
Okay.
All right. Honestly, I know we've argued about it,
but I think
the Best Buy thing is a good idea. And I know we argued about it, but I actually do think the Best Buy
I kinda
thing
like
is
it. I do too. I knew it was smart.
They had big stands at Disneyland yesterday. You could play all sorts of games. They had like the Wario Game & Watch thing they had.
Game & Wario?
Yeah, they had that there. They had tons of games just all in these huge booths right outside downtown or in downtown Disney.
If you need any Disneyland questions, Rachel's the place to go.
I knew I'd find a way to place that Disneyland in today's show.
It's the AfterBuzz drinking game every time she mentions Disney.
Oh my god. I've been blackout drunk a lot of times.
Wasted.
So another company that's live streaming is going to be Square Enix. Instead of having their normal booth, they're going to be live streaming from E3 from the show floor. So
is anyone still going to be working there by the time E3 comes
out? That's a good question.
That is a good question. So well, let's go ahead and talk on it now, just the fact that the president, it was just announced, apparently it was a month ago, but the president quit, president of Square Enix.
Yeah.
So to go work at Amazon in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, hey.
That's a step
that's
up.
It's a good...
Go Japan.
Freaking Amazon.
Well, lately with Square Enix. So Square Enix, can we keep on hearing all these negative things? Every week after week is something new with Square Enix, which is pretty depressing. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I think they're on their way out.
Despite making unbelievable games, Hitman was incredible. Tomb Raider is one of the best games I've played in the past years.
What?
I love Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
it was forgettable.
I loved it, but it was forgettable. Even better, Deus Ex Human Revolution was amazing.
I actually will say,
you didn't like Deus Ex?
Oh, I love Deus Ex.
She's just frowning
about Tomb Raider. Oh, okay, I thought you were saying...
You're hearing this, like, look, I'm like, Deus Ex Human Revolution, come on.
I still was thinking Tomb Raider. I love Deus Ex,
all these games are good. I'm still, I mean, like, we've talked about it a lot. I cannot understand why these games did badly, other than maybe a lackadaisical marketing push.
That's the problem with the industry as a whole, right? I mean, they didn't do badly. Tomb Raider sold near 4 million units. You know, Sleeping Dogs is a surprise at 2.5 million units.
They wanted to sell like
7, 8.
But
it's a function of expectations, right? And they set that expectation far too high for their stockholders. And I think that's what hurts my soul a little bit, because moment to moment, I loved Tomb Raider, maybe even more than Bioshock Infinite.
I did too.
No, we can't go there.
Bioshock's the better.
You had a moment, but then...
And then I just jumped in and it's gone.
I don't know. I think the gameplay in Tomb Raider is better.
100%. I liked Bioshock a little more. I gotta represent. But
like, ah,
it hurts so bad.
Bioshock, the original, was way better, but Infinite,
it's like poison.
Oh God!
Sorry.
God.
So let's jump on to with that some positive news, which would be our gaming moments of the week. And with that, let's go ahead and start to my left.
Really?
All right.
I think it's pretty predictable, but you guys, because I pointed out
the photo shoot.
No, the teaser last week. This week, of course, the full trailer of Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
It's a long, like, 5-minute trailer, so I just wanted to put a little bit. This time around, it's going to be made by, you know, obviously WB Montreal.
WB Games, yeah.
Not Rocksteady. It'll be different. Yeah. So it looks a little different, and they have, like, cool
this
gadgets.
This is all cinematic. This is all
cinematic, but still... It totally makes me excited about it.
Cautiously optimistic about this?
I am optimistic about it. How about you?
Yeah, 100%. I actually, you know, especially with all the messaging coming out of WB saying that they're lending them assets and they're helping support them, I'm actually very excited about this game.
Wait, this is not gameplay?
It's Batman.
It looks like a movie.
No, this does not count as a game trailer. No.
I mean...
No gameplay.
You there's bought that of, island. But
there's a lot of badassery in this trailer, though, right?
I can't wait to be this character and play it. We're at the days that if you can't show gameplay in your trailer, then I'm not interested.
There'll be a gameplay trailer eventually. Hey, we're months out. Come on, give him a break.
It's a PR cycle.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Rachel. I always wait for the gameplay. Look, I'm excited. I want to see the new Batman because I did the last Batman Arkham City and Silent Hill.
They want a link to the trailer,
but it's very hard.
In the chat.
I will send a link.
It's very hard for me to get excited when there's no gameplay.
I'm with you.
But
it's Batman.
Yeah, they have Deathstroke, Black Mask.
Oh,
and there's the reveal.
There's Batman. All right, so Batman's. With Batman's reveal, let's move on to Grant's moment of the week.
I'll give this a second to wind down.
For the explosion. explosion.
Boom.
Slow and that motion is, explosion.
That is indicative of...
Which are the best kind, John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Grant, moment of the week.
Okay, my moment of the week is going to take a couple seconds for John to get this up.
We can go ahead and start talking about
it.
League
of Legends Twist of Fate cinematic for League of Legends.
So yet another trailer.
One of the most popular characters in League of Legends.
Trailer segment.
This character can most often be a...
Wait, this isn't gameplay either. This is a cinematic.
Is not gameplay, but they have kick-ass cinematics.
I like how you're harping on Kairi for showing a cinematic, and then you show a cinematic.
The famous character is Matrim Kathun from The Wheel of Time.
No.
Oh, that's Matt. That is straight
up Matt. This character is most often associated with, like, players that play Twisted Fate. They control other people because they can get around the map very quickly. They also have very far ranging ranged attacks in League of Legends. So Twisted Fate is kind of this like character who hassles other people in the game and is a carry character. People have been waiting to see some of these trailers out of Riot because the original trailers for the game only show a handful of the now expansive list of characters that they have, and this kind of gives a moment for some of the like characters that weren't shown in the original trailer to
shine. It's amazing to me how big Riot has gotten in the past 6 years, because I remember talking to them interviewing them, I think, at PAX 6 years ago when they were very first starting, and everyone was like, oh, it looks like Dota. It's pretty cool. And now it's just completely blown up, and it's pretty much the e-game or the e-tournament, e-sport game that everyone plays. So it is amazing to see what they've done with LoL. But with that, Rachel, what is your moment of the week?
My moment of the week, oh man, that's hard because the game I've been playing, I'm not allowed to talk about yet. I can say that I've been playing Fuse, but I can't tell you what I think about it until tomorrow.
Well, apparently it's your gaming moment of the week, so...
Yes, so I'm going to give a shout-out to Minecraft because it was my most played game last year, according to Raptor.
And now the PC version.
I love that I can still play it and still have just as much fun as the first time, and it's always like this world that is constantly changing and exciting. Right now, my house is apparently full of cats.
Yeah, I saw that
and,
picture
and
you
we
posted.
Got a strip club. I'm excited to check out the strip club.
You got much further than I ever got in the game, and now you have like pets and stuff.
Yeah, you can have cats. You can have dogs.
As long as your house isn't full of creepers.
No, dear God, no.
You just walk in your house, you're like, boom, no!
Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
No, we have an alarm system in our town so that when an enemy does get close to our city, we went into this city and there were like the villagers there and we
oh yeah, you said this, you like to rape and kill all the people
right
off the bat.
We raped and pillaged the whole city and then we took it over as our own.
Was this like the first 10 minutes you played the game?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, God.
And then we've got like a strip club and an alarm system and a farm and it's amazing.
So just to recap, the first thing you did, you ran in there off a ship, proceeded to kill, rape, maim everything inside.
Yeah. Yes.
And the first thing you built after that was a strip club.
With cats.
Well, we built houses.
A cat strip club?
We built houses first. We had to make sure our houses were good.
Rachel, you're officially a Viking now. You are an internet Viking. Congrats.
That's what you do in Minecraft.
No, that's
wow,
what you
I haven't
do
played
in Minecraft.
Minecraft in a long time. It's completely changed.
I dig down as far as I possibly
build
can.
You can do anything.
And trying to create like a utopia, you're just like, I want to go back to the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
They kept coming in my house without my permission. I'd try to sleep. And
the villagers?
No, the villagers. And they'd come and watch me sleep. So, of course, I'm going to kill them.
Wait, what? Well,
yeah, they were totally creepy.
People come and watch you sleep?
The villagers
They can open doors.
They'll just walk into your house and like be really creepy. And so I had to kill them. I'd had enough.
This is very different than when I play Minecraft. Yeah, and just my only goal was building a staircase.
Right.
Now, apparently, you're raping and pillaging with cats.
Hey, the most recent expansion, cat rapage pillage.
Yes.
No, no raping the kitties, no.
No, the cats do the raping.
And the villagers kept humping my sheep, and I was just not down for that.
What is going on in
this
Minecraft?
What are you playing?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Rachel plays messed up versions of Minecraft.
Best game ever.
So you downloaded
and then,
the wrong
Rachel,
mods,
do you
basically.
Then go do surgery on them? Anybody?
Oh, God.
Rachel's version of surgery.
I wish I could.
Bash
them
on the head with a hammer.
All right, so let's go. I'll go ahead and jump on my moment of the week, which is... this is from the new Daft Punk album, and I actually haven't listened to the new Daft Punk album
either.
At all.
Everybody's telling me I've got to listen to it.
But passable. I heard this, which is an 8-bit, literally a 8-bit version of Daft Punk by Joe Jeremiah.
If it's going to play, there it goes.
Grant's pulling up there.
Not me.
I love chiptunes, so this guy does some awesome chiptunes. And he basically just took a bunch of the songs from Daft Punk.
Look at his sweet, sweet
from
tie.
From the new album.
That's true.
That tie's been on ThinkGeek for the last, 10 years. That tie's been around longer than the
he's
Xbox 360.
He's got the 8-bit glasses, too, from ThinkGeek.
Yeah, he's got the 8-bit glasses. But it's just, awesome hearing him turn an entire album into an 8-bit song. Which is pretty amazing to me, and I don't know what the actual songs sound like, but it makes me
you don't know
interested.
What this song sounds like?
This is Pharrell.
Either.
This is the Pharrell song.
Yeah.
What was it? I can't remember.
I'll send it to you, Dave.
It's up right there in the corner. Right?
I can't see the corner.
Unemotional, it's your fault.
Probably mine, actually. Let's not place blame anymore. Let's continue on.
Yeah, your fault.
That is my moment of the week. So that's by Joe Jeremiah. If you guys want to look it up on YouTube. A-bit of Daft Punk, if you guys want to check that out.
I'm sure
very
if you
cool,
searched
man.
Eight,
very cool.
Yes.
Non-bit, it would show up as well. Mm-hmm.
So, Patrick, what is your moment of the week?
So, I tell you what, my moment of the week would be Metro Last Light.
I want to play it.
At the beginning of the year, I don't know about you guys, but I get a sense of what I'm going to play and what I'm really going to enjoy. I knew I'd play Bioshock. I knew I'd love it. I knew I was going to play Tomb Raider. did exceed expectations. But this is one of these, I know, just give me the evil eye. This is a game that kind of came out of nowhere, right? So I'd seen some reviews. It looked like it was trying to do something a little interesting, and I was like, we'll give it a shot. And this game absolutely floored me. So it does the thing that Bioshock does. It's front-loaded with a ton of exposition. It's like 30 minutes where you just get to soak in the world and feel this level of desperation before you ever even pull the trigger. And just, I was really wholly impressed by just how tense this game is. So for those people that don't know, it takes place in post-nuclear apocalypse Russia, and the entire thing's in the subway. And so one of the interesting things is the in-game economy is actually bullets. You have regular type of bullets that you shoot people with, but then you have these military-grade bullets that serve as cash. Now, you can load them into your weapon if you're in a desperate situation.
Didn't load them once.
Didn't? Okay.
Spent them on ammo and guns and attachments for the guns.
Okay. You're better at games than me because I'm like,
no, I died a lot. I didn't use the military grade ammo.
They create like systemized desperation because you get a point where you're on the surface and you've got a gas mask on and blood would hit it and you're wiping it and then people are coming from everywhere and I'm out of regular ammo and so I have so little I have to put potentially like my meal into my gun and I load my food for later to get myself out of a situation. You don't literally eat, but yeah. I'd say it's your currency and I'm literally shooting money to stay alive.
I was searching everywhere. The 13 to 16 hours I played the game, I was searching everywhere for the filters. And yeah. There's a point in the game, I don't know, like from where you are, yeah, you probably have encountered that long stretch of wilderness where there's very few people to fight and it's mostly just the creatures and they don't have the filters.
No, they do not.
So you're basically running around and you start out with like about 13 minutes of breathable air and then you venture out into the wilderness and you just see that number go down and down and down and you haven't found a filter. And I actually almost came like I died a lot, but I came close to suffocating the most.
Well, it's amazing to me how Metro Last Light kind of just came out of nowhere. And there's been previous Metro games before. I don't think any of them necessarily were big deals. Nobody really talked about them. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing Last Light, it's getting great reviews. So this one kind of just came out of nowhere.
Well, I kind of fell victim to that whole THQ thing, right? So, you know, when THQ went under, it was right about a point where it was going to be released. They were picked back up and then, you know, it was pushed a little bit. But, I mean, really came out of nowhere. The level of world building that they do, this game is incredibly polished, and it's more than a competent shooter. It's a really good mechanically, you know, the mechanics in the shooting are fantastic. So I couldn't recommend it highly.
Is there a level up system at all?
No, but there's
one thing that both of you might be interested to know is that there is a hidden morality system.
Okay.
So in order to get the proper ending and not to spoil it, you're going to have to pay attention to these cues. There's some visual and audio cues in the game, and there are certain things that you need to experience in the game, and there are certain ways that you need to treat some action moments. Like there's going to be some choices that you make later in the game. You haven't gotten to them yet. You haven't played it at all.
All right, well, stop spoiling it.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm going
choices.
To.
No,
all right. There's choices you're making. I'm just saying, in order to experience the best ending, and I spent 16 hours playing this game, you don't want to spend another 16 going back to play it again and make these choices again. Listen for some bells and
white flashes. Stop ruining everything.
I'm not ruining the game.
You're ruining
listen
everything.
Listen for bells and listen for white flashes because they let you know that something important is nearby and to experience it. And that way you'll be able to make the proper
experience it how? Like,
spoilers brought to you courtesy of Grant Corman from Los Angeles, California.
Well,
you
know, learning.
What I think was interesting too, they kind of do this whole like the monsters on the surface aren't the only enemies, right? There's these different factions underground, and you see the levels that people are able to go to. I mean, akin to The Walking Dead, right? Where you almost forget sometimes that there are zombies, is that, you know, people can be potentially incredibly
desperation.
Right.
Love
right.
that game.
Yeah. It just drips of atmosphere.
You're
can't
desperate
recommend
this to
enough.
Find the filters, and these people that you encounter, most of them are pretty desperate.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it looks incredible, and I want to get it now at this point, or borrow it and not pay a $60
fee.
I'm getting Gamefly.
Oh, that's a good callback.
It's on Gamefly.
So let's go ahead and get to a couple stories because we're going a little long here and we'll try and wrap it up quickly. So Curiosity finally ended yesterday morning and I don't know. I have to admit I was curious what was at the end of Curiosity.
Uh-huh.
I liked your tweet, Grant, about what it was. You want to go ahead and say what that was?
I didn't see that anybody had responded
to
it.
What is Curiosity?
I said, what was it that I said? I said, what was finally at the center of Curiosity is a little tiny Molyneux dressed in a black suit.
So
it's like life changing.
So Curiosity is a game that was on mobile devices like iPad, iOS. You could play. I don't know if you could play on your computer.
Was that the game? No, that was Candy Store.
You literally just tap on a box, on a cube, and you start like peeling off layers of this cube. But it was like millions of people would play it together online because there were so many pixels, and you're literally tapping away the pixels. And until one layer of the cube is tapped away at, you can't start tapping away at the next layer of this cube. And there's something at the end of this box inside, and we don't know what it is.
Farmville.
Right, so it's like a three-dimensional box that people all around are just tapping away and chipping away at to try and see what's inside of this box. And it was a Peter Molyneux game, and it was just basically made to advertise Goddess, which is his next game. But at the very center of the box, only one person would get it and get to see it, of all these millions of people chipping away, and some secret message was going to be sent to them, and they could do whatever they wanted with it. They could reveal it to people. They could keep it to themselves. They could do whatever they wanted, but only one person got to see, of these millions of people, what was inside of this box.
It was a video of Peter Molyneux. He's like 3 inches tall, standing on a huge 60-foot stage, telling you that you're going to be able to play the god of all people in the next game, Goddess.
That was it?
There's more
for the most part. There's
more
money. You also participate financially in the game's sales.
Well, there's more to it. So
he'll get a certain amount of money back for each game.
I feel like Peter Molyneux could release a version of Tic Tac Toe, and we'd all be just transfixed by it.
So Peter Molyneux said it was going to transform the person's life who won. That's all he said about it. So the winner was Brian Henderson from Edinburgh, Scotland, and basically, what this does is it's more than just makes you the god of his new game.
Yeah.
It's basically, it brought this kid immediate internet fame, because this is an 8-year-old random kid from Internet Scotland.
Oh no, the 8-year-olds in control of the game.
Everybody knows who he is.
I didn't know he was 8 years old.
He's 18. 18 years old.
I thought you said 18.
Sorry, I meant 18. He's an 18-year-old.
Thank God he's an adult. He made decisions.
He's a Scotsman, so
he's 18. He's been drinking anyways if he's 8 and he lives in Scotland.
Yeah, 100%.
But so he's the god of the game. He's going to actually be making finances for every sale of the game. He actually makes a portion of it. And he got immediate internet fame. So if you think about it, Peter Molyneux argues it did transform this kid's life. Everybody knows who he is. He's making money.
I love how he's able to say it transformed this kid's life, even though it hasn't happened yet, technically. The game hasn't
come out. He hasn't gotten a dollar from the game.
Heard of him. And we don't know the extent of what kind of control he's going to have.
They're lucky that he's old enough to be legal, though, that it wasn't some, like, 8-year-old.
Oh yeah, but literally though,
which makes it weird.
Did you have?
What if it was?
Did you have?
No,
could they legally not, like?
I think the participation agreement said
it would have
like,
to be the parents.
You could, yeah. I don't think you could participate completely.
I guess he told his parents right away.
No, I mean if he was underage.
Oh yeah,
parents would have to come into play.
You know, what I was thinking though, what this guy could have done was try to just sell the information off to people.
Take it to the grave. Yeah,
or just been like, if you want to know what it was, what's your offer to every like media outlet out there?
Put it on eBay.
What's your offer? And try to build up.
That's a different thing. They
promised him money in the video.
He will be making money too. He's making money for free.
It was controlled. It was a controlled marketing experiment.
It went
to the favor.
Well, it's basically like winning the lottery.
Funny,
that's the comparison. It's like you won the lottery in a way. It's like a random thing. You won the lottery.
Honestly,
I feel bad because he started playing the last hour. I think he's
Rich R. Burton and says in the chat that what if the game is going to be canceled now?
It still changes his life. I think.
So apparently
everyone
on the chat is saying I did say 8 for the age. I'm sorry. It was 18. But I mean apparently now I am brain farting Owen Harper. Now that he says stop brain farting. I wanted to say something really badly and I can't remember what it was.
Maybe I'll come back to you.
I hate that.
No, let's just move on.
All right.
So that's it. So Atari's going to bankrupt. It's a happy thing to move on to. So they are $22.2 million is what they want to make. So another company going down. And final thing I want to mention is Halo was announced. It's having a TV show. I'm sure Rachel's a big fan.
That was weird.
I think that's the least talked about point from that thing. Yeah. That TV gaming confluence
was Steven Spielberg
insane.
Shows up and he's like, hey, guess what? I'm going to get in on this new Halo TV show.
Right.
And he's like,
the movie was bad enough.
That just totally confirms that it's an entertainment system.
Well, but like, what was the Remedy game?
Quantum Leap?
Worst name for a game that you just put quantum on.
Quantum physics or something.
Brain fart number two.
Quantum Break.
Yeah.
Right? Did you see the live action in that
Kevin
trailer
Kevin Pereira was advertising that game, I think, right?
I don't know. I just saw the live action piece of it and then gameplay and that weird TV game confluence just really threw me
the
for
Halo
a loop at this.
The Halo movie was bad enough. It was not good.
Steven Spielberg doesn't do spectacular with TV anyways. His, what, that...
Did you watch
that? That Terranova
movie?
Didn't Ford do well.
Oh, no. But, you know, the lady that they hired was the one that brought her forward. And her name escapes me, but the executive
Netflix?
That they brought on from CBS was the one
name?
That really Lemony took Snicket? Them from, like, third to first place. Yeah. So she's got a real good pedigree of building quality television.
Yeah.
Why are you guys having a mini conversation on the side? You're in the middle of hosting a show.
We're talking about the Halo movie.
I will say
so
this.
So talk about it
it's
here.
It's on Netflix.
You have a mic.
Regulate, Dave.
I played Defiance.
Yeah.
And I talked about how it linked to the TV show in my review and how I thought that it, like, we talked about it here on the last couple episodes, how it may or may not work as far as it's, like, they're going to elevate a character from the game into the TV show, and if stuff that happens in the TV show will affect the game, of course, because that's all linear and planned out. I don't know how it's going to work for Destiny. I don't think it's a good idea for games like Halo to do this, because what if it's just like Defiance and it really gets that lackluster reception from the audience and it's not as successful as they thought
you
it was going to be?
You guys don't like video games turned into movies, so what do you guys think of...
I'm waiting for a good one. That's
right.
I'm
and the same thing with the TV show, though.
Said, let's just put it this way. Whenever they say video game into movie, I'm worried, but I'm not saying, like, automatically I'm going to
hate it. I watch all of them, even though I know they're going to be crappy.
I think putting a video game into a TV show or movie is having to dumb it down, and dumbing down something is never...
Yeah, and that's what
happened. It's just a completely different medium.
Is like the TV characters
I don't think it's completely
appear
different
in
medium.
The video
I think
game,
it is.
And they are so much less... I mean, they are... As they're as dynamic as any other character that's made the transition, I will say that, but they're still lacking.
Well, I think it's because when you play a video game, no matter how linear it is, everybody has a different experience with the game, with the story, and with the characters. So when you do try to pull it down into a show or a movie, that is only one adventure, and people won't have the same experience.
Well, so Hayden Gorange on the chat being facetious, but it's developed by Steven Spielberg. The issue here from the video, he played Pong. He's such a gamer. He understands me.
Well, so let me ask you this. Do we know if it's going to be behind a paywall on Xbox Live? Is that where that's going to air?
We don't know.
But I mean, so that changes the value. That changes the value proposition for Live a little bit more. It makes it a little bit more attractive for me to fork over for that.
But Hayden, don't worry, because honestly, I was watching an interview with J.J. Abrams saying that, aren't you excited to watch, you know, like, aren't you excited to, you know, like, direct, you know, like, the Star Wars movies and the Star Trek movies? And he was saying that he hasn't watched one of these franchises.
That can't be a thing.
Yep.
No, I think Star Wars he watched, not Star Trek, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Star Trek.
All of his buddies were excited that he was going to be working on the film, but he hadn't watched them himself.
Okay, so
Steven Spielberg doesn't have to have played games.
That fact.
Steven Spielberg doesn't have to play games to make a great Halo TV show.
I disagree.
Okay, so quick other story that I want to bring out just because it's funny to me. A research story. Professor Dongwon Cho of Chungbuk Provincial College.
Best name ever.
He wins.
He's a South Korean.
Game's over.
South Korean professor. He had a study that violent video games make graphic cards run hot and emit more radio waves. Thus, he argues, it means that violent video games are more harmful to the body.
How did that even make sense?
Great research. Thank you.
Because of what he said.
Well, some of his other
hot graphics.
Apparently, he also researched that how drinking for 3 days straight will cause liver damage.
Wow, what a rocket scientist.
How watching porn will cause unmarried men liver damage.
Grows hair on your hands,
unmarried
too.
Men, but and, married men are safe.
Yeah, apparently married men are safe. And how smartphones cause people to have irregular voices.
What?
So he's done
They're
some
smart.
Really great research.
That's because we sound different on the phone than we do in
this
real life.
This guy sounds
Puppies
like he's
cute.
From the
We die eventually. Like,
wait, hold on.
So wait a minute. This guy released a statement, a long list of statements of his declarations that basically confirmed to me that I shouldn't be listening to a single freaking thing this guy said.
How is he getting funding? Yeah, money to look into this. Who is doing that?
He might have sealed the deal.
He's a professor.
Is there nothing else going on in South Korea? The South Korean
people
government?
You didn't read this
so
on the
intrigued.
Onion, did you?
Anytime.
I'm just going to ask real quick. You didn't get this from the Onion, right?
That was a Kotaku story.
Okay.
That's even worse.
All right.
Although there have been a couple of news outlets that have been toying around with doing what the Onion is doing. I don't know if you've seen Variety is like doing their own like fake. Like entertainment news now as well.
I think they'd have to warn you though if you didn't know it was the Onion.
Kotaku
they caught a lot of people off guard.
To publish rumor as fact.
Well, no,
those guys.
I mean, look, they're not saying this is going anywhere. Apparently, this is just some random crap that happened. But Anyways, I just want to say Professor Dong Wang anytime we have a study. That's what I'm going to do from now on.
Dong Wang. Could you just say it, period?
Dong Wang.
I think you should have him on the show.
Dong Wang.
I know.
That'd be a fascinating interview. I'll tell you what.
We're going to spend our entire remaining budget getting him to come here.
It's actually Dong Wang Cho. I think I read that wrong. Dong Wang.
That's even funnier.
But, okay, so we do have with us a special guest, Patrick Dees. Do you want to talk a little bit about Pixel Cross Pixel?
Pixel by Pixel Podcast.
Pixel by Pixel. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's a podcast. We talk about modern narrative and video games. We'd love to have some of you guys on at some point, but you can find us at Pixel by Pixel Podcast, and you can find us on iTunes at Pixel by Pixel.
All right. So thank you for coming with us.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's been fun.
Spirited conversation.
You guys are great.
So we do want to ask you guys before we go, we have got a question for you, which is how you feel about the Xbox One. We've all had very different opinions, as you heard. So how do you feel? Who do you agree with the most or the least? Let us know. So with that said, we will...
Let us know.
So with that said, we will wrap up the show. And guys, thank you again for joining us. Once again, I'm Dave Klein. You can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein. That's K-L-E-I-N. Or check out my website, djk-online.com.
And you can find me on my Facebook page and Twitter, K-A-O-R-I-O-U-S.
I'm on Twitter at GAK, and you can find me reviewing games weekly on nerdluster.com.
GAK is kind of hard to remember.
I know,
GAK,
right?
Three letters.
Right? Fantastic handle.
And you can find me on Twitter, which is at TheRachel, or my YouTube, which is youtube.com/RachelMoore, and I will have a Fuse Let's Play and review coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Great.
Yay!
You can find me at P to the D's, and check out Pixel by Pixel Podcast.
P to the D's.
P to the D's.
Spell it out.
I like that.
P to the D-E-E-S.
I like that.
I have it up on a lower third, so they can totally read it.
And I believe it's just the letter P. It's not P-E-E.
No.
To the D-E.
Nope. P to the D-E.
We got that. All right, guys. We will see you next week for pre-E3.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.